Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Never make a major life decision in February.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
Hide Easter eggs. Otherwise, they're like weird cabinet above your refrigerator for 363 days a year, right? Get them out.
With Margaret Apples.
And Amy Wilson.
They're like Prince William and Lady Kate. Is that my name? Because here I am with my wine glass full of chocolate milk.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas.
So you don't have to.
Clean up whatever. If they loved it and they didn't fight, then you win.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And this week, how is it still winter? Why is it not spring yet? What's going on?
We are, in fact, moaning in the face of motherhood and occasionally weeping in the face of motherhood, or at least gently crying in the face of motherhood.
The big news as we recorded this was this week, Elmo went on Twitter, Elmo from Sesame Street.
Oh, Elmo.
And he said, Elmo is just checking in. How is everybody doing? And
this didn't go well for Elmo.
12,000 people came for Elmo saying variations of like, not great, Elmo, actually.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah.
There's a great scene in Mad Men, if you haven't watched it. There's a character who's like the underling, the kind of long-suffering but also kind of horrible underling to the main.
Vincent Kartheiser is the actor, but I can't think of the character's name anymore.
Correct.
Pete.
Pete is the name. And he's John Hamm's underling. And he's also terrible. But I don't remember the source of the conflict in this particular episode. But there's a guy named Bob. And this character gets in the elevator and Bob, who's like the office cheerful guy, is like, how's it going, Pete? And he just goes, not great, Bob. And my sister and I, that's become our go-to phrase.
Yeah.
I'm just always like, you know, well, I'll be halfway through the description of my day. And she's like, so it's a not great, Bob. I'm like, not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. Right.
And that's how we're all doing right now. Thanks, Elmo. Not great, Elmo.
I don't think Elmo was expecting to get that back. And now all the other characters of Sesame Street have hopped on. Snuffleupagus has very large ears and he's available for listening. If anybody wants to reach out to Snuffleupagus on Twitter, he's here for you. Even Oscar.
I feel we need Oscar at a time like this. Oscar just needs to be depressed with us in our trash cans.
Yeah, Oscar is us. Oscar's not mean, you know? Like, he's cranky.
He's just metaphorically sitting in a trash can of life, just like the rest of us.
Yeah, he's, and so are we. We're in the trash can of winter. We talked about this during the pandemic, and this was such interesting research. I'm bringing it back. We're going to talk about the third quarter phenomenon.
I need this because I will say, I mean, getting a little personal, this week I've just had the blues really badly. The blues mixed with, do you know the phrase? It's one of my favorite phrases ever. In Breakfast at Tiffany's, she doesn't get the blues. She calls them the mean reds. And it's like, that's so much more what I have. I have the mean reds. I don't have the blues. It's like the blue.
It sounds like little pills you take, you know, in the 70s.
Well, the blues implies like, I've got the blues. But like the mean reds are like jaggedy and jangled and like sharp and mean, you know, like it. The blues kind of feels soft and cozy in its own way. But the mean reds is what I have. Like,
I can't really picture Audrey Hepburn having the mean reds.
Yeah, but Holly Golightly can.
But even she did.
And I have the mean reds this week. And I've been talking to my spouse a lot about it, tearfully, as that I'm having also sundowning, like, which is a...
Well, sundowning is like people with Alzheimer's get much more confused when it gets dark and they start to want to go home and things.
But it's odd because my husband sweetly has been checking in on me. Are you doing a little bit better? And I'm like, yeah, I think today's fine. And then he walks in the door at 5:30 and I'm like crying. And I'm like, oh, it's the sun goes down. And like,
yeah, it's the seasonal affective disorder.
The darkness literally comes inside my bones.
Yes, it's been cloudy like 4 days in a row in New York City. And I get to like, what's the use really quickly, right? When there's no sunlight at all. It's not even that cold. It's just not sunny. It's not nice.
And that's the thing. It's not. Now, people go crazy when I say this. I'd a million times rather have snow than the weather that we're having, which is we had a nice snow, one nice snow so far in New York. It wasn't exciting, but it was at least a little bit of snow. Snow is like, let's put on some chili and light the fire and get cozy in our flannel sheets and, you know, make hot cocoa. What we're having is like low gray sky with driving 40 degree rain. It's the worst of all the weathers.
Yes.
At least snow is vaguely jolly, for God's sakes.
I did some research this morning and I went, will you take it as a given, more or less? I said that like the weather that you dread, the time of year you dread, starts around November 15th and it ends around April 1st. I feel like those are the like, before November 15th, it's still crunchy leaves. And after April 1st, oh, like here we go. Like it's getting dark at 7 o'clock. So November 15th to April 1st is the dark time of the year.
For me, in my familial and religious tradition, it doesn't start bothering me until January 5th. Like I find that with the lights of Christmas, like the cold doesn't bother me. It's the endlessness that bothers me. Like I want it to be cold in November, December. I just want it to end February.
I ran some numbers for you. It doesn't because it's not over yet. So, well, I ran different numbers and you can run the numbers starting January 5th. I would say maybe you're still in the third quarter phenomenon, but I'm like, okay, are we in the third quarter of winter or not? So from that, it was like, I might need my winter coat November 15th. I might need my winter coat end of March, but that's it. Like, that's the whole thing. So going from that, we are, guys, I broke it down. It's 137 days out of the year. That's like, you might need a winter coat on and you'd rather be inside. Quarter one is basically until Christmas. Quarter two is Christmas until the end of January. Quarter three, January 23rd to February 27th. Basically, February is third quarter of winter.
I agree with this because even though I'm saying like I'm a good sport about winter until January, I'm still experiencing it. So, and it's the darkness too.
It's the third quarter.
Because I was just thinking, we went skiing. We have a little local ski hill here and we went skiing last Saturday and I was having this feeling of, oh no, like winter's almost over and we haven't really done a lot of skiing. The winter has really stunk the last couple of years in New York. It, you know, it's been rainy, not snowy, not cold enough, still cold enough to be unpleasant. And I was thinking, I think I'm really becoming such a winter person that I want winter to last longer. And then 1 week later, I was like in a fetal position crying for no reason in bed when my husband came home from work.
You wished for winter to be longer and now so we have you to thank.
Well, it's like, I just want more snow, I think. I mean, I like snow. I like skiing. I like being out in the snow. I even like sledding still with my kids. I like watching my kids frolic in the snow. But we're getting all of the harm of winter and none of the benefits. That's how I feel right now. Like it's all low gray sky, soggy rain. It's uncomfortable. I have a big winter coat. When I moved back to New York, my mother-in-law was nice enough for Christmas to buy me, because the first year I lived here, I had moved from California and I was still doing like three sweaters and a raincoat. Like I was just trying to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought me a really good, I don't know who makes it, but let's say like Land's End, right? It's like, it's got a fuzzy hood. It's a real, real warm winter coat. And I haven't even had it on this year because—
Too hot.
You don't really need it. It's too hot. We haven't had a lot of freezing weather. And for me, I do a lot of like, going to my garage, getting in my car, going to the gym, walking inside. You know, I mean, I'm not going to put on a giant winter coat.
And then you're hot in the Target. And like, that's another thing that's terrible about winter.
Yeah, I don't like that. But see, for you in New York City, you spend more time outside.
I do. But yes, even then, the big guns coat has not come out of the closet as much as it used to. That's for sure.
I do think that's one part of the problem is all downside of winter, zero upside.
Well, let's talk about the third quarter phenomenon. because we're in the third quarter, like what that actually is.
Yes, please, because that's why I'm crying all the time right now. Go ahead.
So we talked about this during the pandemic when we were like, are we in the third quarter of the pandemic? And funny, if you go back,
we thought we were in like nine times.
Narrator voice, they were not in the third quarter of the phenomenon.
Correct. We were like, oh God, it's April 2020. We're in the third quarter of this.
Right. Aren't we in the third quarter of this? And then again in March 2021, whatever. We weren't quite, but we felt like we were. And of course, the uncertainty made it even worse. But the third quarter phenomenon was not about the pandemic. In the 90s, these researchers named Robert Bechtel and Amy Berning studied scientists in the Antarctic who were in what they called a fixed-term situation of isolation and stress. They're basically living in like a cabin in the Antarctic for, call it November 15th to April 1st, something like that, right? Some long period. They know how long it's going to be and they can't leave and this is how it's going to be. And they discovered among these scientists something called the third quarter phenomenon, which was their worst morale, the most fighting and tension, the most like, what's the point? I'll be here forever, happened in the third quarter of their deployment.
The beginning of the third quarter, right? Like
during the third quarter.
Oh, no. Oh my God. This is where my mind is. I was like, because the third quarter goes to the end. No, there's the fourth quarter. I'm being a dummy. It's the whole third quarter. I'm like, oh, because the third. Yeah, I'm thinking of thirds.
The fourth quarter. Right. There must be some like, we're almost out of here. Gosh, I'm going to miss this place thing that gets you through the fourth quarter. The first quarter is getting used to it. I don't know why the second quarter isn't that bad, but it's not. The third quarter is where all of the bad feeling goes.
Ignoring my bozo lack of math reasoning. I think about this all the time. I'm flying to California later in the month, and it's the fourth hour of the 6-hour flight that kills you. You know what I mean? Like, because at the fifth hour, you're like, okay, we're almost there. Like, two more episodes of Friends on the back of the plane seat, and we're there. But the fourth hour, the thrill of what are we going to watch? What are we going to do? We're up, we're heading off. Is gone.
Dinner's been served or snacks or whatever. Yep.
And the light at the end of the tunnel of being there has not been, you're not close enough to be like, it's when you look up on the 6-hour flight and the little tracker's like, you've 2 hours to go. You're like, oh no.
Right. You're like, 2 hours. Well, this is what they discovered. So they discovered this. They called it the third quarter phenomenon. So then more studies have seen, like, can you apply this across different sorts of people like astronauts? Yes, yes, you can. And the other thing that was interesting is, can you apply this across different lengths of things? Like, is a 6-hour flight going to have a third quarter phenomenon just as much as a 4-month thing in the Antarctic? And the answer is yes, that it happens no matter how long. If you're in a mission, someplace where you're kind of stuck and it's a little bit unpleasant, the hardest part is going to be the like 50 to 75% of the journey, which is exactly where we are.
Yeah, it makes a tremendous amount of sense for every version of this whole thing. There's no newness to it, and you can't see the end.
Right. And like, so maybe it's better to know, like, okay, this is how, where I'm supposed to be right now. This is developmentally appropriate for me to be having third quarter phenomenon right now. It's February. I'm going to quote a very wise woman, Margaret Abels, who has said,
hat tip to Ann Richards, my sister, because this was not original to me.
You say it. You take us home because it's your sister. So really, you should say it.
My sister's phrase. And she may have even gotten it from someone else. And it's the most useful phrase you'll ever hear. Never make a major life decision in February. And for those of you not into old movies, Chinatown, where you just, you know, it's Chinatown, Jake. It's Chinatown. That's the whole movie kind of moves to the point of like Jack Nicholson's character is trying to figure out all these various threads and how can it be? And at the, you know, one of the denouement moments is a guy says to him, it's Chinatown, Jake. It's Chinatown. It's like, this is just how it is here, people. And my sisters and I often say to each other, it's February, babe. And that's the thing. Like, you don't need any more information about what's wrong and why you are Oscar the Grouch in the trash can than the fact that it's February. And I don't even care if you live in San Diego and you're at the beach all day, every day. It's still February.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And right. This year, hate to break it to you, friends, we get an extra day of February.
Is that right?
Yes, it's a leap year. So we get another whole day to not make decisions.
To just run in place.
Because what happens, the reason you can't make decisions in February, just to put a very fine point on it, is that you're so miserable and you're so deep in third quarter phenomenon that you're like, having children and being married was a mistake. I'm going to move to Guam and open a crab shack and serve martinis.
Crabby patties. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to just light my whole life on fire and quit my job, or
eat, just, pray, love it. Just get out of here.
You're going to eat, pray, love it. And then, like, you're going to be at Eat in March and be like, okay, this was good, but I don't want to pray or love. I just want to go home.
Right.
But you flipped everyone off on your way out the door and you were like, later, suckers, I'm out of here. It's like, you don't blow up your life in February, even though it is so tempting.
And everything we've set up until now is universally applicable. Like, February stinks and we just got to get through it. But there is a special kind of stuck inside and how much longer is this going to take that kicks into gear when you are a parent of kids who are stuck at home with you, who are out of things to do, who extended screen time gives them spiral eyes and makes them fight, but leaves them unsatisfied and yearning for something else. And you're in charge of what happens next. But fear not, listeners, because we are here to talk about how you can shake things up when you're at this moment where your third quarter phenomenon, now what? Now what are we going to do? We have some ideas and our listeners have some ideas.
After this.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practiced after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order. I wanted to give a shout out to Ginny Yurick, who is an upcoming guest that we're going to have on. She hosts the 1000 Hours Outside podcast, and she came up with this whole 1000 Hours Outside framework, which is amazing, which is that you should get your kids, as a family, you should spend 1000 hours outside during the year. And I wanted to hat tip that and say that we're going to be talking to her, and that is definitely a nice goal. But it's like what you were just saying before. This is the worst kind of winter, though, just the like rainy, wet, not fun 38 degrees and gray stuff.
And we were having a fun little phenomenon on our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/whatfreshhellcast, during the pandemic, that we had introduced the idea that people in Denmark leave their babies outside in strollers. And so that the babies would just spend a lot of time outdoors, bundled up, cozy, but outside in the cold. You know, you'd see this line of like babies in strollers outside cafes. The moms were in having coffee and the babies were just all bundled up. And so we started this phenomenon during the pandemic where we were sharing pictures of ourselves as Danish babies, meaning we were wrapped up tight, but we were out on lawn chairs in our lawns.
Right.
With our faces towards the sun being Danish babies.
Right.
And I just said to my husband in my little mini crisis, I need to just Danish baby every day. But today is the clouds are 2 feet above my head. It's wet and gross. And I would be more upset Danish babying outside right. than inside. Like, I don't even want to go outside.
Right. Also, back then, your friends were in it with you. Like, let's all Danish baby. We were Danish babying so we could see people. Now we can see people at Starbucks. We don't really have to sit in our gray backyards. Anyway, I just wanted to say, like, yes, is it better to get your kids outside a little bit? Probably. Even on a rainy day? Sure. But even Ginny says she has a calendar that you can download to get to 1,000 hours, which seems impossible, but it's not. You do it 1 hour at a time. And even the way she lays it out is spend like an hour outside on days like it is now. Spend 5 hours outside in July. That's how you get to 1,000 hours. Even Ginny's not saying spend 5 hours outside this week.
Right, because there's days you're doing 8 hours. But mm-hmm. yeah, today I'm doing like 45 seconds and I'm done. I don't want any more than that. I don't like you outside.
There are times where we're stuck inside. We don't like you outside. There's reasons we can't be outside.
Listen, Elmo, thanks for checking in, but I'm doing pretty badly. I'm not even doing 1 hour outside my bed today. This is my 1 hour outside my bed talking to you, and then I'm going to go jump back under my flannel sheets and hide.
I mean, they're just always are like, their brother has strep throat, so you can't go anywhere. It's this. You're waiting for the dishwasher guy to come. You can't go anywhere. Like, there's all kinds of reasons that we really can't go anywhere, or it's raining, or, you know, we're waiting for something later. You're still stuck inside, we're out of ideas. And so we wanted to talk about ways to sort of change things up, right? Ways to make things new and exciting when everything's the same and boring and old.
Yeah, I think this is good. We're going to get into some actual tips because goodness knows if y'all wanted to hear a 9-hour podcast about me complaining about February, that is available to you. But this is actually going to try to be a podcast where we offer some version of a solution.
Yes. So I broke down, before we go through the actual listener suggestions, I thought we would break down sort of the categories, like the ways to think about this, like the questions to ask yourself, because I think most of them fall into a couple of categories. So the first one is to change the context. To make things seem new, just change the context of them. Like, you bring something that you usually use outside, inside. That was a suggestion from Ella, one of our listeners. Back in the pandemic day, do you remember somebody suggested put Legos in the bathtub? Like, they're fine. They don't take on water. She, in desperation, dumped a thing of Legos in the bathtub, and her kid, like, stayed in there for 90 minutes playing with the Legos. That just take something and put it somewhere where it doesn't usually belong and let the kids play with it there. You're going to get a real reward out of that if you hit the right thing.
Yeah, and it's a simple kind of set point of, you don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel and think, I just put a book in the giveaway pile that's like 75 fun ideas to do with your kids. I did zero of those 75 ideas and eventually just put the book in the giveaway pile. And maybe some of them.
Dump Legos in the bathtub.
Yeah, someone else will find it useful. But by the time I get exhausted just thinking about, like, take construction paper, I'm like, I'm out. Once I see the word yarn, I'm like, never mind. I don't want to be involved in this anymore.
Mm-hmm. There is an idea, book traps. I saw this a long time ago in a parenting magazine, and this is another version of this. This parenting expert suggested that you get some kids' books, whatever, while your kids are at school, while your kids are in the other room, while your kids are at karate, whatever. And you lay out like some blankets, make a cozy spot on the floor. Again, somewhere different, the top of the steps, somewhere that they don't usually go, corner of the kitchen. And you put books and a quilt there. It's just something that isn't usually there is all of a sudden there. And your kids come home or they come around the corner and they're like, what's that? And she said, it's magical. You will see. They sit down and start reading. This is clearly like 10 and under, guys. But I did this a lot when my kids were little. I would get out a blanket and, like, say the horses that are usually in my daughter's room. I'd get out the horses and I'd get out a blanket and I'd line up the horses like by the front door. And I'd also get out, like, you know, some Fisher-Price guys and line them up. And, like, this is a horse show. And my kids would come in and be like, what is this? I'm like, it's a horse show. They're at a horse show. And the kids would, like, fall to it like it was their job to play with that until dinner time.
And we've talked a lot about this with younger kids And it's something that I was terrible at, but when I did it, it worked, is rotating the toys, you know, like not having the 400 toys always available, because then there's nothing to do. Whereas if you are able and you have a closet where you can keep stuff, and then, you know, one day it's all the Star Wars things are out, and then they go away, and out come all of the, you know, what are those things called? Magna tiles, you know, it does help, I think, to, it's new to you.
Mm-hmm.
Also, one way to do this is just to throw things away, because, man, let me tell you, when a kid sees a toy in a garbage bag, it suddenly becomes their favorite toy ever.
I still like that. That's a great tip.
What are you doing? It's like, you haven't touched it in 10 years. That's my favorite thing in the world.
Yes. And let me tell you, that doesn't go away. You have teenagers and you try to get rid of the thing that, like, nobody's, it's dusty and they're mad at you.
Well, talking about older kids too, I feel like sometimes the weekends are really hard for us, you know, and my kids are teens and tweens now. I have a kid with a birthday. And I'm more like just screeching rules at the top of my lungs rather than setting up wonderful horse shows and book traps. But I will occasionally be like, it's cozy hour for the next 2 hours. No screens. I'm turning the fire on. Everyone grab a blanket. Find a cozy spot.
Yes. Yes.
And that's where you are for the next hour, let's say. And it's imposed coziness, but it's like you can chat with each other, but you're just in your cozy spot and then you don't have a screen. Yeah. So figure it out.
Yeah, cozy jail. But it's on the branding. You don't call it cozy jail. You call it cozy time.
No, it's cozy time. And we have, my husband and I both have seats that are our cozy spots. And it's like, here's a blanket. I'll even hand you a blanket for cozy time. But it's cozy time. And the only thing that's allowed.
Can I come to cozy time?
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem. My husband and I are like, is it cozy time again? And the kids are like, not cozy time. And we're like, well, we only want cozy time.
Your needs may vary.
Yeah. You can't be in bed for cozy. There's been a huge fight because you're not allowed to be in bed for cozy time. And bed is cozy, but cozy time in bed is different. You're like, this is cozy sitting up time. It encourages reading.
Okay.
Basically.
All right. I like that. But you're not calling it reading time.
Or you can just stare into the middle distance and have deep thoughts, but you're not on screens and you're not really making any noise.
I wanted to shout this out. I just saw this today on Instagram, and I thought this is perfect for what we're talking about. A user on Instagram named Kaisa Coates, she started with her little ones eating dinner by candlelight during like the dark winter months. She said, a little over a month ago, we tried this. Dinner time is significantly calmer. The kids slow down and they want to sit and talk around. One night I forgot and they said, aren't we going to have candlelight? And they light it up. And she said her youngest is 4 and loves it. And I thought this was a great example. It's a great idea. And it's an example of like the thing that you don't like. What if there was more of it? This is like sort of like a screenwriting thing, right? Like the thing that's not working. What if you made it bigger instead of took it out? So like it's too dark. It's getting dark too early. Right. Let's have dinner by candlelight.
Lean into the dark.
Yeah. Because you can only do that in the winter.
We do this sometimes and we call it fancy dinner. And fancy dinner, I'll tell you, get $8 worth of wine glasses at, you know, somewhere cheap, like a $2 wine glass. Suddenly my kids are in heaven. Like, I mean, again, now they're teenagers, not so much, but even still, I'm going to say fancy dinner is still being pulled off. You put chocolate milk or apple juice or even Coke, whatever their drink of choice is, in a wine glass, and it's fancy dinner. And you should see these kids with a wine glass. They just act like they are just, you know.
Like Le Bernardin, right?
They're like Prince William and Lady Kate. Is that my name? Because here I am with my wine glass full of chocolate milk.
I love it.
A wine glass. That's a $2 investment that really pays dividends.
And like it might tip over and it might break or whatever, but it's worth it.
That's the thing. We don't care. Yeah, we don't care if it breaks and we don't care if it tips over. And honestly, they're so into it that we have not had one break.
Mm.
I'm not talking about leaded crystal. I'm talking about a $2, but they're very, I guess we've had some tip over, but they're just like, they just love drinking out of them.
They take it seriously.
Yeah.
Another sort of like great rule is to flip the order of things, right? When like the order is boring, can you flip the order?
Give me an example.
Breakfast for dinner, like pancakes and sausage for dinner,
or
ice cream first, right? Or like dessert first and then dinner, things like that. I'm not saying you do it every night. I'm saying you talk all week about how Wednesday we're going to have backwards dinner. And the kids are like, what's that? And you say, well, you'll just have to wait and find out. And then backwards dinner, which may or may not be by candlelight, is like dessert first.
Kids love this. And I mean, my sister-in-law introduced us to the concept, which I've spoken about before, of ice cream dinner in the summer. You're like, let's just get ice cream. That's dinner. That's our meal.
Yeah.
And the thrill of ice cream dinner, it just, it's like, has the world gone mad? Mom serving ice cream for dinner. I think jangling up the expectations sometimes is very magical for kids. You know, it feels like, and it also, I think, reinforces their sense that there is a lot of order. You know, because it's like, well, this is the disordered version, and it makes them feel like comfortable. That like, okay, the order makes me feel safe. And also if the order goes away, it's also okay. I'm all for it.
Well, why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we're going to give you some of our listeners' best ideas for being stuck inside and keeping kids busy, how to shake things up.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors. And somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
And now, a chronological list of activities to keep your kids entertained when they're stuck inside for the winter.
Let's have a yummy breakfast.
Hot chocolate, anyone?
How about some reading by the cozy fire?
Huh, it's really only 7:45 a.m.? Okay, let's go outside and frolic in the snow.
What do you mean you're coming back in? I haven't even found your sister's snow pants yet.
Okay, snow frolicking over, and it's 8:20 a.m. Guys, let's do some baking.
Whoa, letting you guys have all that sugar doesn't seem like it was such a good idea.
Fine. Okay, listen, you can have some screens.
Fine, okay, you can have some more screens.
Okay, I can actually see your brains rotting from across the room. Let's get off those screens, guys.
Okay, everybody, I read online that a fun snow day activity was to stack some cans.
Wow, thought that can stacking would last longer than 3 minutes.
Board game time.
Yes, I know your brother won the board game, but that's no reason to hit.
Reading, how about we all try some more reading?
Fine, you can have some more screens.
Okay, we are getting off those screens. Let's get outside, it's sledding time.
Mommy hurt her back carrying the sleds. You guys are gonna have to watch a movie for a while.
Okay, guys, I'm up, and I made some more hot chocolate and cookies.
Okay, listen, have an apple, put some peanut butter on it with your cookies. This is lunch, guys. This is lunch.
I looked up our post-lunch activity on Pinterest, and it's marshmallow sculptures. The family in the pictures looked happy.
Wow, that family in the pictures did not really convey just how much mess this activity would involve.
You guys, go make a pillow fort.
And I thought the marshmallows were a mess. Okay, I guess I'll clean up the pillow fort tomorrow.
All right, it's arts and crafts time.
Wow, between the marshmallows, pillow forts, and craft projects, I can't even see the floor of the house anymore. Yikes!
I have an idea. Let's all go to our rooms separately and sit quietly for as long as we can.
No? You don't like that idea? Fine. Then it's learn to use the vacuum time, guys.
Okay, it's now 2:15 p.m. and I am willing to commit half a week's pay to take you to an indoor trampoline park.
Well, that was fun and expensive. And now we're home and it's still only 4 p.m.
4:30, guys. It's dark out, so I guess it's time to have some pizza and then watch screens until bedtime.
6:30. And I think I'll just set all the clocks ahead an hour and convince the kids it's time for bed.
This has been a chronological list of activities to keep your kids entertained when they're stuck inside for the winter from the What Fresh Hell podcast.
All right, Amy, we've gone to our Facebook group, which I already shouted out. Go find it. What Fresh Hell podcast Facebook group. If you look it up on Facebook, you'll find us there. Thousands of us all chatting with each other. And we went there to ask our listeners what their great ideas are for surviving this third quarter of winter.
I loved this one from Sammy Joe. She said we had a cold blast with multiple days in the negatives, which must have been the Midwest summer. So they did an ice capade. She had the kids find toys you want to rescue from ice, put them in a Tupperware container each, one for each kid, left them outside overnight to freeze. And in the morning, her kids had to use water and salt and whatever tools they could to chip away and get the Lego guys out of the ice. She said it took an hour and it was no mess and everybody was happy.
Super fun. Super fun. Love it. Low buy-in. And also, to your point, we're leaning in. And this is where I think the lack of snow and stuff has been bumming me out. Like, we're leaning into winter as opposed to, like, keeping winter at bay.
Yeah. Actually, one more thing about the winter. You do need snow for this. Gail said when her kids were little, they would play for hours with snow on a baking sheet. They'd wear their gloves if their hands got cold, but mostly they just use their little trucks or kitchen items to scoop it and make recipes out of it. Once it got too melty, I'd dump it and bring in more and they'd keep going.
All you need is snow. Yeah. And I mean, I definitely am the person who's like, my first thought whenever anything like this is brought up is like, that sounds messy. But I think, again, like the fear of cold, the fear of mess kind of sometimes gets in our way of buying ourselves time that we really need, you know? And again, we did an episode
right
where about we forgot what this was like when I was taking care of my 2 and 6-year-old niece and nephew. And when you just wake up to that gaping yawn of 6:30 a.m., I've got 16 hours to go. And my dad has a joke that if he found out he had a year to live, he would spend it riding an exercise bike at a children's birthday party. Because those are the two things that like make time stop when you're riding an exercise bike or you're at a children's birthday party. He's like, I could stretch it to be like, if it would feel like 23 years.
That's true. You'd be like, take me, Lord. I'm done. I'm done early, actually.
You'd be like, I'm ready to go. Get me out of here. But it's true that like that feeling of like, that unique feeling that I will tell you guys, you just don't have it anymore when your kids are all over 10, where you're like, oh my God, it's 7:35. Okay, let's plan 6 activities. Okay, now it's 8:12. You know, like how is the day humanly possibly moving this slow? Any activity that eats up an hour is your friend.
And this baking sheet one, like, okay, so you get a couple pool towels, right, first, and you put them on your table, and then you put the baking sheet of snow, and then it's snow. It's just water, right? It's just, it is worth it. It's worth the hour, even if you have to change your kids' clothes after, even if, because nobody's fighting and everybody's deeply engaged. It's a different kind of peace. Otherwise, they're fighting and jumping on the furniture and yelling, and this is worth wiping up the water on the floor afterwards, I think.
And I think that one thing that the pandemic taught us, and then we forgot this lesson very quickly, was, what is the expression? There's no weather, there's clothing, there's something, there's some expression that I'm not coming up with right now, but like, you can go out in most weather if you have the right kind of clothes. I mean, friends of mine and I would sit out in 29 degree weather with cups of coffee around a fire pit and chat for 5 hours. I mean,
it was better than being home alone. Right, right.
Yeah. And I think, and also we would get the kids out in gear and go walking in the woods, you know, and we've gotten so out of all of those habits because we don't have to do those things anymore. But a lot of these activities can happen outside. Like the tray of snow can be on your deck. You know, it doesn't always have to come inside the house.
Right. Well, this is like when there's a wind chill of 12, or you're making dinner, or you have to listen for the baby or whatever, right? This stuff can come inside, but you're right. Like, or we suck it up and send them outside for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rachel had a good one I'd never heard before. One year I made up a holiday. I guess I didn't hear of it because she made it up. Rachel's holiday.
Because you don't live in Rachel's house.
Rachel's holiday is called East O'Ween. It's a cross between Easter and Halloween. The kids wear costumes, makeup, etc., and hunt Easter eggs in the house. It's a buy nothing holiday, so we have to use what we can find. It's been really fun. Sure. I mean, yeah, hide Easter eggs. Otherwise, they're like weird cabinet above your refrigerator for 363 days a year, right? Get them out.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff. It's, I mean, you're good at this. This is not in my skill set, but it's the marketing thing of like, we're going to do this fun thing just by calling it something, you know, and kids are very susceptible to this and very into it. And it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll bring the goal line closer to all of us. Shannon says it's really fun to let your kids unroll a roll of toilet paper around the house. Whoever unrolls it the fastest without breaking it wins. She says my kids still ask years later if they can do this.
I'm trying to picture it. The game is you unroll a roll of,
I guess,
toilet paper.
Each kid gets a roll of toilet paper.
And how fast you could unroll it without breaking
it. You have to unroll the whole roll without it breaking, I guess. Whoever can unroll their whole roll first, but if you break it, you have to start over with a new roll or something. And they have to clean it up. She did say, I cut this part, but Shannon did say, P.S., you get buy-in ahead of time. Cleanup is at the participant's responsibility.
Huge, huge. I used to do one with, I saw it somewhere, you tie a piece of string on something in the house, and then you just walk around with the string, and then the kids have to follow it and find the whole path. And it's, again, stupid, but takes up a lot of time and doesn't involve that much cleanup.
Aaron did this one, and this, I've seen this on Instagram, but it never occurred to me that you could like copy and paste this for home use. She said, go on YouTube and search Disney ride or roller coaster rides. And there's all these videos people have done of their perspective riding on the Seven Dwarves Runaway Mine Train or whatever. And that you then sit the kid on your lap and watch the rides, and you like, and you pretend, maybe put them in a laundry basket and pretend they're on the ride.
That seems fun. That seems fun.
Yes.
Yeah, I would do that. That seems fun. That's low entry. I'm going to try it this weekend with my 16-year-old. I'm going to put him in a laundry tub, and I'm going to put him in. I'm going to be like, can you believe it? We're at Disneyland.
Whoa. Space Mountain. Aaron had one that was a little more effort, but I really like this one too. Pick an animal. Like, today is Platypus Day. We're going to talk about and learn about the platypus all day. Watch a couple of videos on YouTube, then you try to draw it, then you let them use the recycling bin to make a habitat for a platypus, or a, you know, a way to catch one or whatever, then you make up a poem about it, etc. It's Platypus Day.
That is a fun idea. That is a really fun idea. We play a game in the car that is called I Know Something About. And you say, the leader of the game, whoever it is, you take turns, says, I know something about platypuses, that the males have a poisonous barb on their back right foot, an actual true fact about platypuses, friends. And then the next person has to say, I know something about platypuses. They are one of only two mammals who lay eggs. I have a lot of, I could do this all day.
don't play Margaret in this one, right?
Don't
pick a different animal.
But it's really fun. And then, but you can also say, I know something about platypuses. They have 4 feet. Like, they have a tail. And so you can, everybody just, and then it keeps going until you're out. Somebody doesn't know something else to say. And then you pick a different animal and you do it. It's fun. It's a good card game with little kids.
Cassie says, use painter's tape. I'm a big fan of painter's tape. Cassie says she uses it to create laser mazes. Like, use a doorway and you tape the painter's tape across the doorway and then maybe like down a hallway so that your kid, like Catherine Zeta-Jones in that movie. Oh God, what was that movie? Where there's all these lasers. Picture like
I know the one you're talking about. Her butt was like going under the lasers.
Yeah, her butt was going, right, exactly. It's some jewel heist kind of a movie. Search YouTube for jewel heist laser escape videos and you use painter's tape. Right.
Just search for Catherine Zeta-Jones butt laser and that'll come up because the shot is of like her butt dipping right under the laser.
And you got a, yeah, you got a sort of slow motion kickbox over this one and then get under that one. Make one of those for your kids and then have them make one for you. I have definitely gotten mileage out of, okay, I'll do a scavenger hunt for you with five things on it. And now you make a scavenger hunt for me that has five things on it. And that'll take them, you know, half an hour to do your scavenger hunt and 2 hours to create the scavenger hunt for mom. And meanwhile, you've, you know, finished your dissertation waiting for them to come back with the five things they need you to find. And you may or may not find it, but then it'll be dinner time anyway.
And you don't have to do all these things with the kids. Let me tell you a good one. You get a couple of little squares. You give them like four squares, two kids. And it's basically floor is lava. Like, can you get from here to upstairs and back downstairs without touching the floor? And you can use these little, you know, squares of construction paper. I just said I don't do anything with construction paper. Give them like two coasters, put their feet on anything. And then they have to figure out if they can get upstairs and downstairs without ever touching the floor.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. And it works.
Yeah. Sometimes it leads to like finding kids on like furniture and stuff. But oh, well, this is why we don't have any nice furniture.
It's like you're out of ideas and they can be happy for an hour doing this. It's worth it. Babby has one. This is and like so crazy. It probably works. She says you throw out all of the clothes, her words, all of the clothes, you throw them in a big pile. Then you let the kids roll around in them and hide each other under them. She says, I know this sounds horrible.
She lives somewhere that gets really cold for a really long time because this is insanity.
Right. I know this sounds horrible, says Babby, and results in so much work afterwards. But the few times that I've allowed this, it was a huge success. Yeah, it's like, is it worth the 20 minutes of picking it up? If they played for 2.5 hours, it might be. Like that. I think I'm on Babby's side on this. Like, clean up, whatever. If they loved it and they didn't fight, then you win.
I'm going to give you another one that saved my butt during I have a daughter. And for maybe her, I want to say like 7th birthday party, winter birthday. I invited whatever, all the kids in the grade, all the girls in the grade. Let's call it 12 kids. And I'm sort of like, they're girls. They can just play dolls in her bedroom. I didn't really give it that much thought. And 12 minutes into the party, it was chaos. They were running up and down. We have a, what do you call it? Like a elevated, you know, walkway, like a catwalk kind of. And I'm like, someone's going to go over the side of it. They were wild. And I had one of those rolls of paper that goes on an easel, rolled it out on the floor and wrote happy birthday in bubble letters. And I was like, you guys have to create the birthday poster, and threw 1 million crayons on the floor. And they worked on this poster for an hour. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you never know what's going to catch on, but they're like, I need your help with this. That's another thing that kind of works for kids under 10, right? I need your help with this. They still buy into wanting to do that. Michelle gave us this one, and I thought it was particularly useful. It is her older daughter's invented game for days she was stuck inside. So thank you, Michelle's daughter, for this one. You cut up a sheet of paper into 16 rectangles and fill them in. It's just cut up and put one thing in each sheet of paper. Board game, read for half an hour, clean the playroom, practice the piano, play Nintendo for 15 minutes, have a snack, whatever. Fill it out with 16 different things. You fold them up and you put them in a cup. And then you pull it out, and that's what you do next. And then she says, like, it's the rules of the game. Like, there's chores in there. There's screen time in there. It's the luck of the draw. And whatever the piece of paper says is what happens next. And then the kids just do it. And then you don't have, like, an eight-hour day where it's raining and raining. You have, like, 16 chunks of 20-minute activities. And that the kids are happy to do it.
Yeah, this used to be me with my whiteboard. I was living on like, here's the schedule for the day. And it was very random, right? It was clean your rooms 15 minutes, screen time 2 hours probably, read a book, you know, and it just made the day. It's like the old, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Like, it just breaks the day down, because what we're trying to avoid in the third quarter, friends, is the gaping, yawning maw of time that threatens to swallow us all whole. Thanks for asking how we're doing, Elmo.
Right, right, right. It's that, like, how much longer will this go on, right? If you can bring the finish line closer, I don't have to worry about what we're going to do all day, because for the next 20 minutes, we're going to read a book about ducks. That helps all of us, probably kids and parents both.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're here for, Amy, to help children and parents both.
We solved the heck out of that one with some help from our listeners. And there must be somebody out there that you know who is stuck home with their kids in this gray, rainy time, that you could send them this episode pretty much wherever you're listening right now. You can tap, swipe, share, send it to them and be like, you would love this show. You would love this podcast. That's how podcasts grow, any podcast, by word of mouth. And so we'd love that help.
Thank you. Or you can even post it on your own social media and say, here's a great episode. And then you don't have to, you know, get people one by one. You can get them hundreds at a time. That's what we really love.
Right, right, right. That's right. That's right. You can catch lots of listeners for us at once. That would be nice too.
Like a book trap. It's a social media trap, people. We love it. Podcast trap. We love it. Thanks so much for listening, friends. We'll talk to you next time.
So long.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.